Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback episode number 324, as this week we bring you the conclusion of WWF Survivor Series 1992. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I'm joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Mr. Jim Valley. Filling in for Jim this week is our good friend and legendary indie wrestler and promoter, Shane Shadows. He's been on the show before. Shane also hosts an exciting YouTube show where he looks back on the great and not-so-great moments of independent wrestling. Shane, are you ready to hop in the Wayback Machine, return to 1992, and prove once and for all that Cleveland rocks?
Absolutely. I've been standing here on the standby waiting anxiously for the opportunity to watch 28-year-old wrestling matches. I do it every week, everywhere, every day.
That's true. That is kind of our life here. Okay, a Jim Valley update. You know about Jim's miraculous recovery. He is now in a rehab center, and he is walking, if you haven't seen Jim online. And he is talking, and we're at the point where he's talking about returning home maybe in a few weeks. So we look forward to having, after that, we'll get to the point where Jim can talk again, and then we will have our co-host back as God and nature intended. I'm very pleased with that, and I think most of Jim's other fans are too, Shane.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear he's doing a lot better. You know, it's a terrible thing. So many people are getting sick nowadays, and this thing has just hammered so many people. It's hammered some of our friends and their families as well. And just everybody stay safe, wear the mask, and try to take care of yourself, please.
Oh, and for God's sake, wash your hands. I mean, you know.
Yes, Christ.
I mean, that one's,
you know,
that one's kind of
You can't swing a dead cat anymore without finding some kind of a sanitizing disposer. Just use it.
Just use your common sense. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. You know, social distancing. Well, you live in Boonesboro, so I think you're okay.
I'm relatively safe, but it's hit around here pretty good too.
So. Really? Okay. All right. So be careful, folks. I know you missed Jim Valley. If you want to hear a couple hundred episodes with Jim Valley on them, well, first of all, there's a bunch of them on our regular podcast feed, or you can go to patreon.com/waybackplayback. Check out every episode in the 324 episode run of Wayback Playback. Plus, if you sign up for the Black Scorpion tier, you can go ahead and get some bonuses with that. Bonus shows that Jim and I have done both in the past and presently. $4.50, as little as $4.50 a month, gets you on our Patreon and gets you access to all those shows, ad-free shows, and shows showing up early. Okay, let's look at the podcast rankings this week. We are up in Apple Podcasts this week, so that's in the United States, so that's good. In Chartable, our big number is that we are ranked 266th out of all leisure podcasts in the United States. Again, for the second week in a row, that's incredible. And the fact that we've also charted in Great Britain and Canada and France and Brazil and India, our listeners are wonderful. And we thank you, and stay safe this holiday season, because we're going to need you even more. And tell your friends. Go ahead and subscribe to us. All right, let's see
An
where
eclectic
we are.
Mix.
Yes. Yes, all sorts of stuff going on. We'll talk about some of the future stuff in a bit. But right now is the point, as we start the third hour, where we get to the reviews of the show. And I don't think we're going to be giving too much away. This was November 1992. Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer writes about this show. The show drew as mixed a reaction as is possible. I watched the show twice. The first time I gave it a slight thumbs down. The second time a slight thumbs up. The Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels main event watched on its own without following a few bad matches was an excellent match. So not to give too much away, but Dave Meltzer's favorite match on the show was the main event, which we're going to see, 4.5 stars. And his least favorite match, the coffin match, which we're going to see, which he gave a dud. So best and worst, according to Dave Meltzer, is coming up in this hour. Observer readers poll, 37% gave it a thumbs up, 40% thumbs down, 23% thumbs in the middle. So that's as mixed a reaction as you're going to get for a wrestling show in 92.
Yeah, I remember this show. I do remember this show, and I remember there was a lot of stuff on it that really felt more like a TV taping.
Yeah.
Fortunately,
you've missed all that, so...
Yes, but I also recall this as, of all the big money Shawn and Bret matches, I recall this as probably being one of the best of all those matches.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very good.
Yeah, it's been a few years since I watched it, but
I believe Kevin Sullivan actually wrote Dave and said this was the best match of 92, and you know, he kept up on everything, even outside of WWF. Let's see. On the Pro Wrestling Torch, the average reader scores 6.2 out of 10. Wade Keller gave the main event 3.75 stars. His least favorite match on the show has already happened. Virgil versus Yokozuna got half a star. And Wade gave the show a 7 out of 10 overall, saying a well-paced show with a very good main event. Now we get to the columnists in the Torch, and I'm not one of them at this time. It's 1992. Mark Madden gives it a 5.0, saying Hart versus Michaels was the kind of solid 1970s match Bill Watts blabbers on and on about having but never pulls off. Let's see. Chris Savisa, the resident Japanese expert, gave it a 5.0, saying Survivor Series reminded me a lot of those 60s and 70s record albums. You only bought the album for the two hit singles, and the others were just filler. And I think that's a fair point, to be honest. You know, I mean, because outside of the two main matches, what do you remember about this show?
I do remember the Yokozuna match.
Well, that's true.
I do remember that. And I vaguely, the Kaufman match didn't really ring a bell when you mentioned it earlier when you said we were going to be doing it this evening. So that didn't jump out, but it made sense because it was, they had fought at SummerSlam. So Survivor Series would be the blow off.
Yeah.
That made sense to me. I seem to remember high energy.
That's
Joe and Owen.
That is two episodes ago, by the way.
Head shrinkers?
Yeah. Episode 322, just two episodes ago. Yeah. That was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, I remember pieces like when I sometimes my memory gets jogged and it takes me a few minutes, but for the most part, any card that I've ever seen, whether it's live or on pay-per-view, I can usually piece it together
right. Over
a couple minutes, but immediately the first two or three matches come to mind, like the top stuff. And that was like even the live matches I attended, like in Baltimore and the Cap Center growing up. To this day, I can remember it, looking at the dates of stuff. I got like ticket stubs and stuff. I digress, but you know, right. I do remember a lot about this stuff. A lot of the stuff that they were doing at that time, they were being forced to kind of go a different direction because of the steroid trial and the scandals and all that. Warrior had quit a few weeks earlier. Hogan wasn't around. They were trying different stuff, and some of it was good, but some of it was kind of pokey.
Yeah.
In all fairness.
Right. But they recognize that they needed to shuffle things. They needed to try some new stuff, which, that part's always rough. And I understand.
Yeah, it can be hard when you're trying to redo stuff. And remember that they were still kind of in the middle of the Brett project. Mm-hmm. They had just, as a single, where they had just put the World's Championship on him, but they had been building him for about a year or two. And not really a full year, because remember, keep in mind that he won the Intercontinental title like a year, what 16 months before
SummerSlam 91. Yes. So, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, he hadn't fully clicked yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, he hadn't.
No, he hadn't. It was still an experiment. I don't even know if it was an experiment. It was just something they were trying to do, something that they couldn't replace Hogan with Hogan.
No.
And size was going to be an issue with the steroids and so forth. So they had to kind of distance themselves from all of that. And, you know, he was having great matches. One of the problems, I think, and maybe I'm jumping ahead here, is that Brett didn't have any ready-made opponents for him. I mean, so they put him on Flair, but they didn't have anything really ready. So they kind of had to rush the deal to get Shawn ready.
Yeah, I suspect they're going to do Brett and Shawn at Survivor Series anyway, but it wasn't going to be the main event. So,
right, and you know, it's funny because if you recall that spring of '92, Brett and Shawn were doing matches all over the loop in the post WrestleMania run, including the first actually really recognized ladder match in WWF history,
right?
Which is, you know, all part of the Brett and Shawn DVD that was released years ago. But they had already kind of played through that cycle a little bit. Back then, they didn't. Usually, the stuff that went on, like for those 6 months or so didn't. By the time we got to here, it was time to finish it. But it's like they almost had like a new beginning, because of Brett getting the world championship.
And Shawn getting the Intercontinental title, yes. Back to back, yeah.
Got fired.
Yeah.
Another guy who got fired for being too big, you know.
Yep, that's true. All right, Carly Gill, the first and, I believe, last female Torch columnist, gave it an 8.5, saying this was a well-thought-out show wrapped around two great matches. And our good friend Bruce Mitchell, current senior columnist, gave it a 5.0, saying, I was disappointed with the choppy quality of the world title match. Neither Bret Hart nor Shawn Michaels is as over yet as they should be. Yeah.
That's fair.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. We just discussed that, but yeah.
Yes, we did. All right, so let's see. Okay, so we're going to get...
About Carly Gill.
Yeah, well...
I forgot about Carly Gill.
Well, how can you possibly forget Carly Gill? I'm sure there's a way.
Did he pass away a few years ago? Chris Avista?
I think I would have heard about that.
I thought I did.
Okay, let's see here.
We'll find out later.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out in a bit. All right, I'm trying to pick out the exact... Okay, so I'm here with my good friend Shane Shadows, and I get to explain to Shane how Patreon works if you sign up at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Shane, you know that we've been doing this show for 6 years now and change, so you probably want, and the show is there for free on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and basically and wherever your finer podcasts are aired. So you're probably wondering, what could a patron offer me? Well, I'll tell you what. How about ad-free episodes of the show before the show comes out for everybody else? I think that's a good start.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, that we had a bunch of shows that we did on Pro Wrestling Torch that were locked behind the paywall. And thanks to a deal we made, you get access on our Patreon to all the shows. All 324 episodes. Including stuff. All 324 episodes, including Jim and I doing the 92 Rumble and the Wrestling Classic, which is probably one of our most enjoyed episode. WrestleMania's 16 through 20. All that stuff is in there. The best part is it's relatively inexpensive, $4.50 a month on Patreon. And you get all of that. $10 a month is our Black Scorpion tier. You get all of that plus the bonus matches and bonus shows that we do. And I can point out, Shane, that no matter which option you choose, you'll get every time that Shane Shadows has guest hosted Wayback Playback.
Wow. Mm. All that for $4.50?
I know. That's a heck of an entertainment deal for $4.50. And, of course...
Tremendous.
That's what I always say. That's what Bob Keller always says, too. And he would definitely tell you to check it out. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. Your source for all of your Wayback Playback needs. I tried to figure out the exact spot where to pick this up. So let's see. I'm going to say, well, and I know you're trying to watch this on YouTube, Shane, and I apologize for this. But for those people watching at home, for those people who are capable of bringing up the network on their your devices, and don't get me started on that tonight. Let's start at 1 hour and 39 minutes even. I've got Vince McMahon facing the camera, Bobby Heenan with his back to the camera, and we're all going. And those of us on the Roku or wherever who are watching the WWE Network version of the show will all hit play in 3, 2, 1, and we'll get this going here. Okay, and he's talking. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's Bobby Heenan's still. Oh, we're going to go back. Coliseum Home Video has this. It's the build-up to Kamala and Undertaker. I don't know if that's playing. I don't know if you can start. I don't know if that's showing up on the YouTube version. But yeah, they're showing highlights from SummerSlam. He's hit the big splash on Undertaker. Let's see here.
He done the sit-up, and he does the big panic look in his eyes.
Yeah, the panic. Yeah, there it is. So sit-up, and Kamala's got the panic look. Yep. That's it.
Yeah, it's funny. It's 28 years ago. I can still remember because this just shows to you the value of these video packages in terms of how wrestling is presented and how it gets across the angles and makes things memorable for you. I'm not even watching what you're watching.
All right. And then on Superstar, WWF Superstars, 3 weeks later, there's a Kamala match and Paul Bearer rolls the casket to ringside. Oh, no. And Kimchi freaks out. Kamala and Kimchi says, "Hey, Kamala, look at that!" And Kamala's like, "Ah!" Yeah, Kamala's heading backwards, folks. He's bugging out. He is not going to stick around. What a fantastic performance by the late James Harris, by the way.
Absolutely. What are the great gimmicks of all time?
One of the great guys too. Two weeks later on Wrestling Challenge, Kamala sees the casket and in the middle of the match and stops mid move and runs away, allowing whoever the hell it was to get that big count out victory.
Yeah. Are we sure it wasn't Johnny Blaze?
I can't really see it from this angle, but. Yeah. All right. Oh, and we get now the video recap of the Undertaker building the coffin. Oh yes, this is Kamala's coffin. Oh yes, and there, yeah, he's forged. Yeah, he's in his forge. Undertaker is, and he's doing the Mad Dog Vachon. He's shaving the, you know, just
I love it.
Planing
love
the,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Paul Bearer is awesome. The Paul Bearer documentary, WWE Network, fantastic. I recommend it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe one day when I can get the network back up.
Yeah, I know. It. I know. I know the feeling. I can get it fine on my phone. Yeah, not a big deal. All right. Okay, Mark.
I may have to get a Dollar General and buy one of those $10.99 cards and start a whole new account.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, and the casket clan, you're inside the promo from inside the casket. You watch the casket close on you like you're Kamala. And, okay, we're going to start in the match. Here we go. Well, we're going to get the entrance. And that's the entrance of the giant Kamala. Or it's the entrance of CPW's favorite superstar, the Safari Hunter, depending on.
The Safari Hunter, absolutely.
Oh, Dr. Harvey Whippleman will be doing the introductions.
Oh, good.
Hey, Whippleman. Yes.
Yeah. I want everybody to see the Uganda Giant Kamala.
It was also during this time that at a TV taping they had Finkel and Harvey Whippleman do a tuxedo match, apparently as a giant rib on, and never aired it as a giant rib on both of them.
That's funny. I enjoy that kind of stuff.
All right, and
Finkel was great.
I think the Fink was great. Oh, there's kids dressed as the Undertaker. Let's see. Yep. Good crowd we have on hand in the Richfield Coliseum.
They had done the first two Survivor Series had been done there, and then they got away from there, and then they came back here in 92.
And it worked.
So 87, 88, so it was almost like it was Cleveland's show.
Right, homecoming, yeah.
And they probably did one or two of them there again since then.
As far as I know, yeah. I mean, I'd have to go look it up, but yeah. Okay, here we go. There's Kamala. And he lasts, I think, a few more months with WWF after this. And here we go. Time for the Undertaker's entrance, which should chew up a pretty good amount of time here.
Yes. I mean, I'm still on pause with everybody in the ring. I mean, I got Paul Bearer standing in the ring. I got the
Here comes the box. Here comes the giant coffin. Paul Bearer trailed by the Undertaker. They haven't turned the lights out though. It just. It's not the fancy lighting yet. It's just the casket, Paul Bearer, and the Undertaker.
It's funny when you watch back at. Oh man, they really didn't put that much into pyro, but
yeah,
watching it going, man, why are they doing all this pyro and stuff? It's so primitive and it's such in its early days.
Right. But I mean, the Undertaker, you know, back then you get to see him and if you're at ringside, he's a very tall man. He's in the outfit. Yeah. He does the gimmick.
And he's like 26 years old or something.
Yeah.
Right,
I know.
There, 27.
Something
I mean,
like that,
so
yeah,
dumb.
It's amazing. It's like a wunderkind because you know all the other main eventers were 40. Oh wait, no, that's not. That's now. Never mind.
Yes.
I'm sorry. What was I thinking, folks?
Yeah.
So if you missed the Kamala Shoot interview, and I also had the privilege of interviewing him before he passed away, but yeah, Kamala tells the story of leaving the WWF. His friend Steve Lombardi snuck him into, I think, the office of whoever was handing the payouts then, which, was it JJ? It might have been JJ, actually. And he got to see the payout sheet for SummerSlam, and saw that Undertaker earned 50 times what he did for the SummerSlam match, and that was it. He quit.
Okay, so what does that say? That Undertaker got 51 grand for Wembley Stadium and Kamala got a G?
No, 50 times. Okay. Well, something like that.
Okay.
I think the Undertaker got more than that, actually.
Yeah, wow.
I think it was something like 200,000 to 4,000 or something like that.
Yeah. Wow, $200,000 payout in 92?
Well, I mean, think of it. I mean, think of how many people were in that stadium, Shane.
Well, that's true, but you're also, what about the conversion rate? You know what I mean? It just seems high.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I wasn't there, but I mean, he was underpaid, I'm almost certain. But,
yeah,
you know, there was a recurring theme of that, unfortunately. I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead, but there was a recurring theme of that was always leaving someplace because he wasn't getting paid right.
Right.
Sometimes,
and,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, he left that last WCW run because, you know, because he found out what Hogan got paid for the Clash of Champions that he was that he was on against Kamala, and shockingly, Hogan got more than Kamala, but that can be explained by Hogan's massive contract.
And Kamala, by that point, working on a nightly deal. I mean,
okay, the match has started. By the way, Shane, I'm sorry.
I forgot to mention the match started.
Yeah, okay, they're outside. Kamala's running away outside the ring, and he's threatening to chop Undertaker, and Undertaker is not backing down. Undertaker is following. We just got on a tangent.
He's stalking him.
Kamala's back in the ring, and Undertaker comes in.
I'm where you are now.
Chop, chop. There we go. Okay.
Oh,
devastating chops from Kamala.
Leg here?
Chop, chop.
Chop.
Into the buckle. Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to sell that.
What a very, very agile big man Kamala was. He didn't have a lot in the way of finesse, but he was very agile and believable in his movements.
Oh, yeah.
Taker firing back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not as scary in the WWF as he was in other companies, but yeah, here we go.
Oh, no.
Time for the rope walk.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. And Kimchi and Harvey are very upset.
Back then, they didn't call it old school. They just called it school.
Yeah, that's right.
Kamala staggering to his feet here.
Hard
into the buckle.
Mm-hmm.
Hard into the buckle.
Now, in 2020, they would have had Kamala do this for 6 months and then reveal he already knew English. So.
You are a man.
Yes, the Reverend. Yes, Kamala's babyface turn comes up. Not too long after this, as I recall.
I think I saw one of those grudge matches between Kamala and Kimchi at like Emmitsburg Community College back in '93.
Oh boy,
they were quite heated.
I don't think that one made it onto Coliseum video though.
Yeah, that didn't quite make it.
All right, big chop.
Oh man,
big chop. Over and out. All right. Whoa.
Now he's over and out.
He's got Kimchi up. Kamala has to save Kimchi.
Uh-oh. Trying to smack them together. Kamala cuts it off. Save it. That's right. Savor it.
And into the steps. And, already stuck. Undertaker
staggered. I always like it when they say the solid steel steps and they fall apart.
Yep, that's the best part.
I love it.
It's
he hit him with the urn? No, he hit him with the helmet.
The pith helmet, yes.
Hit him with it. Yes.
It is a pith helmet, yes.
Hit him with Kim Chi's hard hat.
Right.
Undertaker just will not go down.
Nope. Kamala's all over him, but Undertaker will not go down. All right, let's get the chair.
All over him like a cheap suit.
Yeah, Kamala's thinking here. Ooh. Yeah.
Like, what is this object? Oh!
I know, I can use it. Yep,
back of the head?
Yeah, I can use it to hit somebody. Well, they didn't have concussions in 92. They hadn't come up with those yet.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. All right, okay. Yep.
You know what's funny? This card takes place like a week or so after I started wrestling school.
Yeah, there you go. Learning experience.
I remember I was like a week or 2 weeks into wrestling training when this card was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember coming home one night watching that the Clash of Champions too, which was a horrible show.
Yes, that's.
Oh no, different episode for another time. But yeah,
haven't done that episode yet. Well, we do have, we do.
Oh, slam. I yep. see that coming.
Okay.
I didn't see that coming at all.
Oh, here we go. He is patting the belly.
What matter of beast is this? He's undead. He's undead.
And he's having off the ropes. And it's a splash. Uh-oh. Oh, okay.
This yeah. should do it.
Well,
this
hold on, hold it. On. I think he might be trying it again. Going to come off a second time.
Any mortal man would be beaten after this.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, no.
And a good.
Oh, come on. One more time. One more time, as Bob Kelly would say.
One more time.
Two. And a third time. Oh,
power.
My gosh. No,
how
no.
How can he withstand the punishment?
That's right. Oh, no, and Kimchi trips Paul Bearer, and the urn goes into the ring.
Oh, good bump, Percy.
Yeah, actually.
Good bump.
Yes.
His weight wasn't so out of control yet.
No.
He was just a chubby guy.
Oh, there you go. He throws the urn to Kamala, and Kamala drops the urn. Well, that's a mistake.
Oh, he's afraid of it.
An Undertaker does not drop the urn.
He's going to regret that.
Yep, and
walked
and
away.
What?
Oh, run right to the chin.
Oh, no. And Kamala, well, he's breathing, folks, but that's about all I can tell you.
Oh, wow.
He's going for the pin, so I guess he wins by pinfall. Well, I don't know.
But I think you, like an old school Texas death match, you had to pin the guy and then roll him into the coffin and shut the lid.
Yep, that's right.
Pinfalls didn't count. But I got a feeling he doesn't come out of the box here.
Oh no! Wait a minute, he's in the box. Oh, we got the Triple H sledgehammer. We're with Paul Bearer. Well, okay.
Oh, we got to put the nails in the nails.
Nail,
in the coffin.
The nails in the
like
coffin.
That.
That's right. Oh my goodness.
I like that. Shut the lid. Shut the lid.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, there wasn't a hinge on it. You got to.
Oh, no. He's going to nail
it
in.
Amazing how the coffins have evolved over the years.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why they got away from the from nailing the coffin shut. You know, time constraints and all that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Remember, like when he first like locked the warrior in there, and they were like for like 20 minutes.
Oh my goodness, he's lost his oxygen's gone. Yes.
And they get a crowbar out there, and Jack Lanza can't get it open. He just throws it down and says, screw it, walks away.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. All right, yeah. Well,
why would he need to, right?
If he had a hammer, he'd hammer in the morning. One, there we go.
That's one hell of a hammer.
All over this
and I don't
land.
I think Valentine was on this card.
He'd hammer out danger. He'd hammer,
he'd
out,
hammer
a
out a warning.
That's right. All right, there you go. All right, so that's so that puts
we're,
the
we're both old enough to know this crap. This was not a good match.
No. It was definitely wow. It was definitely a match. I'm gonna yeah.
They definitely got into the ring and did something.
That's right. So the Undertaker is your winner. He's celebrating here on pay-per-view. Paul Bearer is wheeling Kamala out.
Which could not have been easy.
You wouldn't think so. They didn't have the trapdoor yet, I don't think, so they couldn't sneak
Kamala. That'd be a couple more years.
Couldn't sneak Kamala out.
It was so cartoony, but it was so much fun to, you know.
Yep.
It kind of was what it was.
All right, here we go. Shawn Mooney is standing by with Shawn Michaels. So let's see what the Intercontinental Champion is getting ready for the match. He's chewing bubble gum. And Sensational Sherry is not there. Oh, Sherry's recovering from injuries. That's right.
Yes, because probably the week before this match, Marty returned.
Right.
And he did that gimmick where Marty was kicking his ass and Sean
and he pulled
spun
Sherry
her into the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah, cracked her over the head.
Okay.
Right there it is. Further evidence, folks, of a misspent life. I remember a TV angle from November of 1992, it happened yesterday.
Yeah, can you remember what happened last week on SmackDown?
I watched it. I turned it on tonight for 2 minutes and watched the New Day, and their promos are so horrible. I'm trying to lock myself in because I'd like to watch the show this Sunday just because of the Undertaker.
Oh, happy Survivor Series Sunday, everybody.
So bad.
They're listening to this on Survivor
everyone.
Series Sunday, unless they're on Patreon. So
yes. Yeah. He got them.
Survivors. Brand supremacy. Wait. Yeah, brand supremacy. That's right. Okay.
Champion versus champion coming up momentarily. All right, I might be a minute right behind you because there's Shawn Michaels in that locker room setting they had used where they shot the promos 2 weeks earlier. He's such a great heel.
Yes, he is.
What an unlikable bastard.
Yes, he is. He was, And he would develop...
Life imitating art and art.
Life would imitate art in later years, yes. That's true. But right now, I mean, Bret and Shawn are legitimate friends. And from what I remember, I think Bret Hart wrote about this, Shawn was not feeling well, had flu-like symptoms and was worried about his cardio. So Bret's calling the match, and according to Bret, Bret's calling the match and setting the pace, and it's probably slower pace than people would have expected if Shawn was calling the match.
Well, yeah, but that was always kind of Bret Hart's thing was always it the build. It was always the build to the match. Yeah. Very seldom did anything start fast with him.
No. No, and probably, and given how much time they get here, they chose wisely, I think.
Well, you have to. I mean, you got to be able to slow it down. You start slower. Those kind of matches back then, it started at a certain pace, and then you'd pick it up good, and then you'd slow it back down and pick it back up and slow it back down. That was wrestling in that era.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Yep. The WWF title is going to be on the line, not Shawn's Intercontinental title. This is not title for title. All right, and Gene Okerlund standing by with Bret the Hitman Hart. And Bret looks happy and confident.
Well, you got to be feeling good at this point. They've decided to go all the way with you. They've already made that decision. And
admittedly, it happened because Ric Flair was out, but for a while, that was only part of the decision. They were going to go with Bret. They had been planning to ride Ultimate Warrior all the way to WrestleMania 9, and obviously that wasn't going to work.
Yeah, I remember thinking, like, at the end of watching SummerSlam, after Davey won the Intercontinental title, I remember thinking, Bret's next.
Yeah.
Because I think Bret comes out of this better and bigger than he came in,
right,
despite the loss. And back then, as hokey, as crazy as this might sound to anybody who might be listening, back then it mattered.
Yes, it did.
Who won and who lost and how you portrayed really did matter.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's why I think back then maybe the characters were a lot different, but the fan base was a lot different. They believed in what was going on. I don't think that they believed it was real in per se, that they just kind of believed.
But they believed it mattered.
They believed that it mattered.
Yeah.
And that's kind of lost now because they've taught us not to care. But
Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton, really, really good match. An important storyline with McIntyre getting the title back, but it doesn't really doesn't quite hit the same, does it?
No, it doesn't, and it's not helped by the idea that there's no paying fans. I mean, I get that part, but even before that, they had been struggling for a long time with an audience that was there more to amuse themselves sometimes than they were to get behind and root for a wrestler. Yeah. The days of having the top drawing guy are over.
The days of going on the road are going to be over, apparently.
Oh, I know.
Which is just insane.
Yeah, but you know what? That's okay for guys like me because I think that people are going to want to come out after this. I think that the independents are going to thrive, whether it's next summer or the summer after that. I think the independents can really be strong with live performance, and I can't wait because I think there's a lot of fun to be had at the arena here coming up.
Yep, I agree.
Whether or not they want to,
we're going
the
to ringside,
to
Shane. I'm
out.
Just giving you a heads up. We're going to get some entrances.
Shawn's in the ring.
Yes, he is. Okay, you're good.
Shawn's okay.
Okay, yep, there we go.
So the young lady looks a lot like Sherry.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, that would, the, the Sherry version of the song. That's how old it is.
That's right. That's true. Which I like. I like the Sherry version of the song.
Yeah.
But it is more of an a-hole move to have Sean singing it, though, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Here he comes, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Wearing his
Napoleon ring jacket.
I like it. It's a good look for him.
I like the tassels. He always had a good look.
Yep.
Always presented himself so well. Mm-hmm. The thing is, for this era, these guys were small. For today, they'd be heavyweight, super heavyweight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It'd be 235, 245 each.
Right. Oh, yeah. Nobody blinks an eye at these, at guys of size, you know, and on top.
Yeah. Like, oh, you guys are huge.
Right.
He's a lot bigger in person than I thought he was. Plus, you're also watching a bunch of guys that look like middle school children.
Well, not necessarily, but yeah.
Not exclusively, but you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, but they, you know, they have smaller guys these days, which is fine. I, you know, boxing has, you know, boxing has a mix of sizes. You know, MMA has a mix of sizes. Yeah. Not a problem. There we go.
Bell has rung. Brett hasn't got his gear off quite yet.
No.
The bell is gone.
There's no rush. Yeah. There's the bell. Yep. There we go.
Yeah.
There's no rush. No,
everything wasn't so carefully timed out back then either.
Oh my God!
They
also
weren't trying to fill 4 hours; they were trying to fill 2.5. They had the matches timed right.
Makes a big difference. I can tell you that. Here we
Huge.
Go. The moment we've been
so
waiting
overproduced
for.
Now.
Yeah. Overproduced. You got a 75-year-old white man writing promos for the frickin' New Day. I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah.
This is not. Yeah. Oh well.
This is just such a simple formula. It's such a simple formula.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yep,
white hat, black hat.
Right. Hey, little kid gets, there we go. All right.
Brett's back in the ring. I think I'm ahead of you.
Yep, there we go.
Here we go.
All right, Sean's chewing his gum. Brett's coming back in the ring. Yeah, you are. We got Earl.
For a second.
We got Earl Hebner.
We do got Earl. It's Earl.
1992.
Better looking than the two brothers.
All right. And lock up. Okay.
There we go. Now I'm probably 2 seconds behind you now. That's okay, though.
All right, they're locked up. They're in the ropes.
I paused it just to.
That's okay. All right, we're in the corner.
Watch the struggle. Watch the struggle. I love a struggle.
All right.
It's early. Right. You know, no one's an overpowering presence versus the other one. This isn't David Goliath.
Nope.
This is David versus David.
Right. There we go. Oh.
Get a little testy. Get a little testy. Come on, make him break.
Yep.
Kind of, you know, I like this.
Yep. Okay. Right. Yep. And then Bobby Heenan pointing out, hey, you know, Brett could be laying back and you know, taking the championship advantage, but no, Brett's trying to press it, take it to Shawn Michaels. Which is
a little ride.
Yep.
Take a little ride. Just ride.
Yep. There you go.
The ropes. Sean initiated it. Make him better of it. Now he gets to the ropes.
Yep.
Be a heel. That's right. Be a heel. It wouldn't be right if Brett went to the ropes.
Right.
If Brett would have went to the ropes on that, that would have made him look like a coward. And that's, again,
that's not what we're doing here.
The betrayal.
That's not what you're doing here. Because you don't need the announcer saying, well, why shouldn't he take every advantage? Come on. Come on. No.
Like sometimes with announcing, you know, you gotta kind of point out things that seem obvious to people.
Right.
But you know,
well, there's always somebody watching for
the
first
idea,
time. You know.
Yeah, you can create the idea that it's part of a bolder strategy or a bigger strategy in terms of the match. But nowadays, everyone thinks that all the match is planned out, the spots this, spots that. But if you're really trying to present it in the sense that this is a competition, you should be one of the announcers at least should be trying to explain where they think the playbook is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they're doing and why.
Yeah.
Locking up that arm, cranking it up. That's the way I try to do it, of course, on my show, which is, you know, I'm being watched by like, you know, 200 people a week or something. So
right.
It's not exactly a gigantic success, but I'm watching 30-year-old wrestling matches, and I'm trying to explain the strategies, not completely in a kayfabe style, but mm-hmm. somewhat. I mean, it's kind of a mix of the two. You know, we all know what happens here. You know, we know how it turns out.
Right.
kind of take a look into the mind of.
Well, actually, Shane, if they're watching your YouTube show, they might not know how the matches turn out. You know.
Well, in my case, and that's where kind of part of the idea came from is like people who like to watch wrestling, and are especially from this area, watching wrestling matches that of people they're familiar with who they don't know the results. They don't know. They've never seen it.
That's fair. Oh, here we go.
All right. Handful of hair. Shoot.
All right. Yep. Up. Brett reverses into the hammerlock. Very nice. Drives a knee. And while we're doing that, we're going to talk about our sponsor, who is very busy and wanted to be here this week but cannot. Ken Banks of Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine. KenandTech.com, KenandTech.com. The finest pet care service in the Bangor, Maine area. Ken is a highly trained individual who has devoted his life to and his full-time job to taking care of pets, making sure, you know, house sitting, making sure the dogs get walked, taking the pets on safaris. He is licensed, bonded, and trained in pet CPR, and Ken will take care of your pet like it is his own. Ken maintains.
All right.
Yes, he is. He's the man. He is Ken of Ken and Tech's Pet Care. KenandTech.com or Ken and Tech on Facebook and Instagram if you just like pictures of dogs and cats and various other animals that Ken takes care of. And, And Ken's probably enjoying this match right now because Ken is also a former indie wrestler. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Ken, and thanks for the sponsorship.
Yep. Hey, we need that sort of thing. All right.
All right. Sean with a little reversal here.
Yep. Sean's got the hand. Okay, here we go. Up. This is a spot. That's a spot you do not see anymore. I will tell you that right now.
A dropping out of the ring?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I probably did that 100 times the first 2 years I wrestled. I just thought it was a great little spot.
And if nobody's seen it in 20 years, you can do it now. You know?
You got it. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, big bump in.
Yeah.
But back to the arm.
Right.
Back to the arm. Mm-hmm. Bring it up, bring it down. Bring it up, bring it down.
That's what it's all about.
They're doing 30 minutes here. We can't pack it all in.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be stuck in wind, and we'll have nothing left to do but the schoolboy.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at the playback of the show. They could have ended up going longer than they did because the show ends up short. But the usual rule for WWE on the 3-hour pay-per-views is they wanted to end it like 2 hours and 45 minutes in, about 15 minutes to go.
All right.
So, but
blocks the roll in reverse, comes back with a cross body. I like that. Mm-hmm. Dump him out.
There
okay.
Now Brett's on the apron, coming back, slingshot. Sunset flip. Yep.
Nicely done. Mm. Nicely done.
Right.
Two. Nope, not three.
Nope.
Arm drag. Bring it up. Bring it down. We could talk. I'm probably going to say this 100 more times.
Okay.
Bring it up. Bring it down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's what they're doing. They're pacing the match and building the anticipation. By the time they start really hitting the stuff in the last 2 or 3 minutes, it's the place is going to be off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant start.
Now we haven't discussed this or done the show yet, but WrestleMania 12, the Iron Man match. What was your opinion on that? Because a lot of the modern fans say it doesn't hold up. You know, it's just. I loved the match when I first saw it, and I still think it's damned impressive.
Well, I think it was a very good match. I think that as generations get further removed away from the idea that the world's champion has to be a guy who can work 60 minutes,
right.
it doesn't hold up as well in the eyes of that audience because
we're not
a slower pace.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and they were moving at a faster pace than, like, Dory Jr. and Jack Briscoe were just 20 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it all changes and evolves, I guess. Oh, nice clothesline. Sean took a hell of a snap bump on that. And two.
Mm. All right.
And what? Brought it up. Brought it back down. Back to the old.
Here we go.
Back to the arm. Rested on this arm the whole time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna win the match with the arm.
Nope.
But that's part of the psychology of this. It's like this is what he does and kind of cranks up on it until he moves to the next, the chess match type of stuff. I'm going to hold this.
It's a game of human chess.
Sean will get there. Yep. Yes. Yes. Somebody said that before famously, I believe.
Yes. Okay. John 3:3. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not as much.
No. Let's see. Well, I'll look it up. I'll look
it up.
I'm going to
grab the rope and do that flip.
Nope. Brett's not going to let him.
Oh, pull him back. Pull him back.
All right. Yeah, I'm a little ahead.
Here's something else a lot of people don't recognize about wrestling. You notice these guys, no matter what they're doing, they keep their heads up.
Yeah.
Nice tackle.
Oh!
Step.
There we go.
Shot.
The hot shot, as they used to call it.
Hot shot.
Yeah. Or the stun gun, if you want to go back. Yeah.
Stun gun, hot shot.
What?
Eddie Gilbert, Steve Austin.
Yep. There you go. Great move, though.
Most famously, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's like everything, a lot of the best stuff back then was reaction and defensive counters.
Mm-hmm.
Everything wasn't about a spot per se back then.
Right.
I think that's again one of the big changes that this comes across like a competition.
Yeah.
This comes across like two guys who are fighting hard to win something.
Mm. Yeah, there we go.
Not cooperation.
End of the post.
Oof. Man, I've seen that about a million times.
Oh, yeah. Brett's very good at taking the post like that.
Well, I mean, then I copied him. I was talking more about myself.
I did that a lot. Yeah, you do.
I did that a lot. Because it's plausible. Right. Again, it's, you know, you're charging in. You want to try to take the guy out. He got out of the way, and you sacrificed yourself, and it damaged you.
Mm-hmm. I remember 20 years ago suggesting to Shane that he works more Bret's Hart stuff into his match. And unfortunately, and Shane listened to me, you know, didn't call me a complete idiot, so that was nice.
Yeah, we did that a lot.
Yeah.
Ooh, what they call that? Bobby Eaton called that divorce court, or Cornette did.
Yeah.
Doesn't separate the shoulders, divorces it.
Nigel McGuinness used that a lot, yeah.
Oh, mine just took to a video break.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Got an ad popped up.
Got a stomp.
That's okay. I'll stay with you.
Sean with a stomp. Here we go. Let's see. And checking his hair. And got Brett in the corner. All right. Up, big whip. Oh! And Brett takes the turnbuckle sternum first. Michaels with a cover, two. That sternum into the turnbuckle bump, that's Brett. That's all Brett.
Oh, my God. Well, like a train smashing against the brick wall.
Mm-hmm. Did it so well. All right. Get the camera tight on Sean. Get his facial expressions. Yeah. There we go. Crank away on the headlock. All right. And fans are watching the entrance for some reason. I don't know. All right. Oh, Brett's pulling the hair. Nope.
Okay, I still got Brett with Sean with the hair. Oh, yep. Brett's pulling the hair. Okay, I think I'm back with you now.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Crowd. Okay, we're in the crowd. Yeah, there we go. All right. Yeah, get the crowd shot to show that it's a full building.
Uh-huh.
Always a good idea.
78% of which was paid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, probably.
There we go. Anyway, Sean with the hair pull. Nice.
Back up to their feet. Struggle for position. Pull with hair, yanking back down.
Yep, there we are.
Bring it up. Bring it down.
Down, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you keep the pace. You keep the pacing going like that until you're ready to, you know, until you're ready to finish it up. Yeah.
Keep the people in it. Mm-hmm. No matter how small the detail, keep the people in it. Give them the hope. Mm-hmm. Give them a hope. Give them a comeback. Bring it back down.
And there's absolutely nothing cute going on in any way, you know, with these guys.
Nothing.
They're 100% straight the entire way. As is Earl Hebner.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. You know, he's cranking this headlock backwards. Like he's got bread underneath the chin sometimes. You could, you know, like him possibly getting into a choke. And back then, chokes, what? Not legal.
Yeah, I know.
There was no such thing as a choke. There was no such thing as a tap out. I mean, a choke was, we're trying to stop the match.
Mm-hmm.
Again, simple little stuff like that, but it's changed the dynamics. Mm-hmm. It changes the dynamics of matches.
Right.
Brett's struggling back up to his feet. Now, the headlock's not real clean looking, but everything doesn't have to be clean. He's like he's holding on, just trying to get the air out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway, Brett's just kind of laying there.
Okay, here we go. And Brett's fighting up.
Yeah.
Brett's going to hammer his way, elbow his way out. And
big wad of spit coming from Sean here in a minute, I suspect.
And drop kick is coming from Sean.
Three to the gut. Nice. Well, yeah.
Yep.
Not a move that you saw a ton out of him once he turned heel and went solo, but he did have a good drop kick shot.
Yeah, Sean, I mean, and he'd make the air, when he did the aerial moves, they looked great. That was the important thing.
Absolutely. It's not about degree of difficulty.
Yeah.
It's about the degree of how well you did it.
And
that gets forgotten a lot.
And this is a period of like 5 to 6 years where Shawn Michaels was probably the equal in ring, you know, of anyone else in North America.
Oh yeah, and this is just the beginning of it, really,
right.
Because remember his solo push had just started at the beginning of this year.
Yep.
He had been working with Marty for 6 years.
Marty went through the glass. Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
Shawn always had talent, but I remember in their early days, I thought Marty would be the bigger star because he was more advanced. But I think, and God love Marty, he just, the lifestyle got the better of him.
Yeah,
just
he was.
Clothesline.
Yeah. Yeah, when Shawn Michaels is the most stable one in the duo, that's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he cleaned his act up years ago, and Marty's still Marty.
Marty's, yeah, I know.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but I mean, any of the Sean versus Marty stuff you see was usually great too. So.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a great angle that they never drew a dime.
Yeah. Well, that happens that way.
Because Marty couldn't keep his job. They brought him back three different times.
Right.
To try to get something out of it, and they just, you know, they got some decent matches. They had that one great Raw match, but
yeah,
I mean, that should have been, anytime a tag team breaks up like that, you should be able to get some money. Front face lock here, front chancery, as Soli used to call it.
Yep, you can call that too. Oh boy. Yeah, and amazingly,
and the crowd's right here.
Right, the crowd is with him. Yeah, and Vince and Bobby Heenan are actually talking about the match in the ring. So you know, that just tells you what era.
Yeah, Vince was not a bad announcer.
No,
he
definitely had worse in that era. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Vince could be. I mean, he wasn't going to call everything, every move down to the technical terminology.
Right.
But you know, as far as excitement and storytelling, Vince understood it.
Right.
And Vince is obviously, he didn't get to his position by accident.
No,
he understands the business. He has a very skewed view of it sometimes, but he understands the business and how to present it when he needs to. Big boot to the mouth.
Yep.
Bulldog time.
Time for the five moves. Oh, no, I guess not. I was wrong.
Coming off the second. You know how hard it is to land flat like Sean did? Oh, missed that elbow. Big, big miss.
Mm-hmm.
Big miss. That's good. Again, what I've been saying the whole match, bring it up, bring it down.
And you know, tease it and don't deliver it until it's time to deliver it.
It's the whole thing. These
like date night.
The masturbation theory.
Yeah.
The masturbation theory. Just keep working it and keep working it.
Did you show? Yeah. Just, okay. But yeah, I get. But yeah, everybody gets it, though. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cut me off. I get it, but I understand.
I'm sorry. All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man,
and we're gonna. And
sorry, it's your show.
And speaking about cutting him off, there we go. We're back to the front chancery.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Okay.
And this was a good choice. I mean, based on what you said earlier, so if Sean wasn't feeling well and there was a cardio issue and they needed to put in the time,
this was the
way to go. And the people are, like I said, the people are there. You can tell they're with it.
They think
that they're seeing the world championship match.
Closer to the pace than they're expecting anyway, the fans, you know, out of a world title
closer
match.
It's similar in pace to the Iron Man match.
Yeah.
Similar. I mean, they had to kind of do it a little bit differently with that because it was, you know, 30 minutes longer.
Right. I mean, this is the first really big Brett versus Shawn match, though.
Oh, absolutely it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been doing house show loops and stuff, like we said about the first ladder matches on Coliseum Video. But pay-per-view or big time. And remember, there was only 4 pay-per-views a year back then.
Right.
You know.
And if I remember correctly, both the ladder match and the Ric Flair Bret Hart title change are on the legendary Coliseum video release, Smack 'em, Whack 'em.
You know, I got a whole bunch of those last year. Some lady sold me like some kind of special Columbia House series of best of this, best
of
that.
It's like, I got like a few of those. Yeah.
Yeah, I never even knew it existed. I got it for like $20.
Huh.
Some good stuff on there.
Yep.
Sean putting it on him in the corner here. Going
to
whip him out.
There we go. Belly to back.
This time. Last time he ate some boot. Oh, is he going to do the rolling reverse? No. Back suplex.
All right. There we go. All right. You're a little behind me, but yep, there we are. Both guys fighting to their up. Sean's going to get up first. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Sean's up on his, coming up to his feet. Not yet.
Okay.
That's a headlock. Shoot him off.
And the spot almost nobody does properly. The slingshot coming up.
Oh, the catapult.
The cap.
Bam.
Yep.
Oof. I missed that one.
Missed
that one.
Because nobody can do it anymore.
Yeah, you're
almost
right.
Almost nobody, yeah. And most of the ones who
try
it shouldn't.
The difficulty's a five.
Yeah.
How stiff you make your body and how the guy's taking you. Takes you up. His legs should take you up.
Yeah.
If you make your body real limp there, you ain't going to make it.
All right. Up. There we go. Brett. Brett sort of does Sean's nip up.
Sort of.
Sort of.
And yeah. Sean's begging for mercy now.
Which is what he's spent. There we go.
Fire one into the gut. And again.
There we go.
Third time.
Oh.
Flip. Nope. Chest first. Oh yeah,
yes.
Now he's riding some rope.
Mm-hmm. And
how much shit I stole from these guys when I was young.
That's the one you get. It's like AEW and like NXT. You get the S word once per show. All right, you've used it.
Yeah, okay. I got it. Big backdrop. It's something else nobody does anymore.
Yeah.
No one takes backdrops.
Yeah, that's a hell of a backdrop too.
Okay. Russian leg sweep. Yep. Didn't hook the leg though. Brett didn't hook your toe behind the leg.
Right.
Kick out. Little detail stuff. It's funny. Yep. Like if you've spent any amount of time doing this,
right.
Little detail stuff that you miss, or you pick up on, and maybe mere mortals don't
back
get
to Ricker and off the second elbow off the second.
He's going to come forward this time. He's going to connect. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime that Brett like threw himself out for like a flying elbow smash, he always missed.
Mm-hmm.
But that front elbow usually landed.
Yep. Oh, we're going up. We're going way up. It's superplex time.
Oh. Way up. And Vince said that too.
Yep.
I was going to haul him up and over.
All right. And both men are down.
That's right. It did backfire on the Bulldog because he turned around because his back went out because he hit the exposed turnbuckle.
Yep.
I remember that finito too.
That's a callback. Oh. Oh no. Well. Fans were hoping that's
the
finish.
The leg, just the desperation.
Well, all right. What one of the great moments here? Yeah. He kicked out, and Vince Heenan goes, he kicked out, and Vince goes, who's he? Even then. Good job, Vince.
Oh, we sandwiched Earl.
Oh, no. Earl's in trouble.
Earl sandwich off the sleeper.
Yeah. Okay, Earl of sandwich.
This is a red herring here.
Oh, here we go. Nope. Oh, and we're back.
People think they were going to bump the ref.
And back to the duck down.
Another reverse.
We're back to the duck down.
I love it. I love that rolling reverse. That's another one that you don't see much anymore.
Right.
I don't even know if people still call it the rolling reverse. I remember a couple of years ago, I gave it to somebody in the locker room as a finish, and they didn't know what it was.
Yeah, well.
So I thought that was a victory roll. I said, wrong.
Nope. You know? Nope. Close enough. Yeah,
now we're fighting.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Oh, and Sean's thinking about taking the win by count out, but no, he's going to try to bring Brett back in. Can't win the title on a count
out. No way to become a champion.
Yep.
Can't be the champion on a count out.
Yeah. Oh. There we go. Body slam on the floor.
Slam on the floor.
Oh, and the rolling in and back out. All right, that's how you do it. Little kids yelling for
the
hitman.
Cause
the
man some pain and punishment. Put some punishment on him, but you got to get him back in the ring, buddy, if you want to win the title.
And Heenan's explaining all this on commentary.
That's good. That does my heart good. They still talk about it. Again, they're talking about it like it matters, and the people are watching it like it matters, and the guys are treating the match like it matters. Guess what? It matters.
There we go. And Brett's taking a beating.
I would like to have seen Sean lay in some shots there on Brett before he whipped him from the corner. Just a personal.
Right. Okay, here we go.
But that's probably nitpicking a little bit. But
Oh, gets Brett up.
I mean, not that I'm anywhere near the level of these guys. I mean, I couldn't carry these guys' bags.
I don't know.
Who?
All right, And now the argument. Here we go. Argument up. Oh!
Man, don't put your hands on Earl, though.
Nope, bad idea.
Now we get a little roll in reverse. Third time in the match, they finally teased it. They got it, but it wasn't, you know.
Super kick.
Crack.
Yep.
Wasn't his finish yet, though.
No, it wasn't. He was using the teardrop suplex.
The teardrop suplex.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what he's signaling for, actually.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Now we're going to put – now it's – now it's quittance.
Well, here we go. Nope. Oh, breaks the eyes. Brett breaks the eyes. Gets out of it.
A desperation move by the babyface champion.
Oh!
It makes sense in the context. Oh!
That guy jumped out of his seat when Sean hit that. And no.
He thought that was it.
Yeah. Thought he was seeing history.
You know, Sean's reacting, but he's not overreacting. Like nowadays, every time a guy kicks out of a move, they shoot the camera so close to the guy where he makes the face like he's just totally stunned.
There we go.
Such crap. Irish whip. Tangled up in the ropes. A little ode to Andre there.
Oh. And Brett goes after him.
Everybody's
paying attention here.
They're starting to sense the title's going to change. Because remember, Brett's not so established as the champion that this isn't plausible.
That's true. Yeah, we don't know what's coming here. Well, here we go. Brett.
No, I literally don't know what's coming.
He missed it.
Yeah, I do.
Now you do.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, twisted him over.
Look at that crowd. And that's it.
Absolutely.
Bell didn't ring, but that's still
Absolutely. Came out of nowhere, but it was the move they recognized.
Right. They wanted it, and they wanted it, and they got it.
No, I think the match still holds up, dude.
It's
been 28 years.
Yep.
It still holds up. That's a goddamn good match. You
could put that on Dynamite or SmackDown or it doesn't matter. Oh, look who's on his way to the ring.
Stu?
Santa Claus.
Oh.
The real Santa Claus.
This has to be an angle.
It's the real Santa Claus.
It has to be an angle. Absolutely. He lives in Euclid, which is just right outside of Cleveland.
That's true.
Balls Mahoney?
No, it's not Balls Mahoney. It is not Balls Mahoney.
Thank you for gathering that arcane.
Thank you. It's not Santa Claus. Oh, and the snow. Here comes the snow. It's just like being home in Calgary. Yes.
Why have a Merry Christmas? What you can have on Christmas.
Yes. we'll be voting on that probably. I know people want that one.
I can't wait to see it. The match, the movie.
I know people. There are people who want us to do it. The match, the no holds barred, the match and the movie.
I don't think I've ever watched that match.
Oh, it's on Super Tape Volume 1. on the Coliseum video section.
I remember that now. See, like, because they were on the cover, yeah. But I don't think I ever watched the match. I watched the movie many times. I love it. And
okay.
The theme from No Holds Barred is one of your all-time great sappy songs, too.
No Holds Barred. All right, the snow's falling, and it is 1992 Titan Sports, Inc.
All rights reserved.
Yeah. And Bobby Heenan gives out a woo to let us know that the show's over. Okay, thank you, Bobby.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game. And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me, biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, MUSIQUE-EPIQUE.com.
All right, there we go. That was Survivor Series 92. Now, what happened next? Well, let's see. The day after this show was Thanksgiving 1992. So, let's see here. Oh, yeah. The WWF, of course, for Thanksgiving in 1992 went to Canada because it wasn't Thanksgiving there. Two Thursday night shows on the 26th. The A show was in Ottawa. I don't have an attendance for that. But Bob Backlund defeats Rick Martel in the semi-main event. Rick Martel filling in for Jacques Rougeau.
That was a pretty good match.
Yeah, filling in for Jacques Rougeau.
That's a pretty good match.
And the main event, Bret Hart wins. Bret Hart defeats Ric Flair by submission with the sharpshooter. So, yeah, that was probably, I'm guessing that was a good match, too. The B show was over in Kingston, Ontario, in front of 2,200. The Intercontinental Champion Shawn Michaels defeats Marty Jannetty. And in the main event, The Undertaker, filling in for Ultimate Warrior, who's fired, defeated Razor Ramon. So, yeah, I expect that was probably pretty good, too.
I can't ever remember them having a major league match, like on a television match, Razor and Undertaker.
No, I don't know that they did. I think they might have had a Coliseum video match, but that's about it. Meanwhile, WCW, Thanksgiving night, 1992, they're in the Omni. 5,715 turnout. You see the tag team champions Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas defeat the Barbarian and Tony Atlas to keep the tag team titles. And in our 8-man Thunder Cage main event, it's Ron Simmons, Sting, Dustin Rhodes, and Van Hammer against Rick Rude, Vader, Cactus Jack, and Barry Windham. And Sting pins Cactus Jack for the win. That's a
One of these things is not like the other.
It's a match.
There's eight guys again, and who doesn't fit in?
Yeah. Well, Van Hammer's feuding with Cactus Jack. That's we'll go with that.
Yeah.
That's a cancel.
I guess so.
Meanwhile,
I like that Thunder Cage.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Smoky Mountain Wrestling is doing Thanksgiving Thunder for the first time in Hazard, Kentucky, in front of 1,500 people. Let's see. For this Smoky Mountain title in a lumberjack match, the Dirty White Boy, Tony Anthony, beats Tim Horner. Tim Horner, Jim Cornette's all-time favorite, as I'm sure he's mentioned. And and in the main event, Falls Count Anywhere, the Heavenly Bodies win the Smoky Mountain tag titles back from the Rock and Roll Express.
Yes. The Four Faces of Fear, which they did, like the Thanksgiving Thunder Tour was in four different towns with four different stipulation matches between the Bodies and the Rock and Rolls. And if you can look up the promo that Cornette did for that with Dutch Mantel in the week before that show, it is one of the absolute best promos I've ever seen.
They don't have a lot of Smoky Mountain on the network, but they do have a bunch of it on YouTube, folks. Yeah, so.
Yeah, find that promo. It's one of the best. Cornette's nose starts bleeding. He's so intense.
Yeah,
and explaining his stipulations, and it all makes sense, and they look so surly and serious. It's pro wrestling 101.
Mm-hmm.
About trying to draw a house off of the rivalry, not off the name of the company.
Yep.
And those guys did a good job. I love Smoky Mountain. Obviously, I wish it would have lasted longer. If it was more of a fiscal success, it would have probably maybe still been around, but it was great classic presentation of wrestling.
Yep. Very true. Let's see. Also, All Japan had a Thanksgiving show. Well, it wasn't Thanksgiving in Japan. In Hachinobi, 3,700 people turned out. It was Misawa and Kawada getting the tag team win over Abdullah the Butcher and Giant Kamala 2. Ben Peacock, I believe. And
that had to be a classic.
Yep, it was. And in the main event, Takira Tao, Jun Akiyama defeat Kenta Kobashi and The Patriot, Del Wilkes. One of those things.
Hey, was...
Not like the other.
Was Andre on that tour? Was Andre on that tour?
I want to say he was.
I want to think Andre worked on that tour. That was like his last Japanese tour, and he was working for Baba because New Japan asked Baba to do a favor in booking. Because, you know,
I think he'd already had his last match by that point, though. Thanksgiving 92? Yeah, we're getting close to
that. Don't know.
Yeah, I'm relatively sure of that. Anyway, that's...
Well, I know he did a Japanese tour, and he was in Mexico, too, at one point.
Yeah.
Around that time, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God, he was huge.
Yes, he was. All right.
Even by Andre's standards, he was big.
Okay, so as you know, we took the vote a week early because we needed the extra time to prep for the Thanksgiving show coming up. And let's see here. I'm going to go ahead and see if we can reveal to everybody, if I queued it up properly... the winner of the vote on Twitter for what we're going to see on Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving episode, and here we go. Okay. Here we go. You'll never guess what it is, Shane.
Stephen P. New, Stephen P. New, Stephen P. New, Stephen P. New, Stephen P. New.
That's right.
Let me see here.
That's right, folks. The win goes to...
Championship Wrestling.
World Class Championship Wrestling gets the win. You people wanted it. It is the episode for January 12th, 1985. Highlights from the Star Wars in the Reunion Arena and big double main event,
Christmas night.
Yeah, which I didn't get right on last week's show, but I will make up for it now. Let's see, 1985. Okay, hold on. It's I want to say, obviously the Fantastics and the Midnight Express, which is, I think, the reason that this one was selected by one of our listeners. And the big, let's see, is it Kevin Von Erich versus Chris Adams? That sounds right for some reason.
So I thought Kerry wrestled Flair for the title that night.
Okay, Kevin Von Erich against Chris Adams and the Fantastics against the Midnights, yep. That's it. That's what happened.
A couple great matches there, but that's next week.
That's next week. A big 44-minute classic and scheduled to appear, making his first Way Back Playback appearance, filling in for Jim Valley. Brad Kane, better known to many of you as Lodi of the Flock.
Oh. Hopefully he talks and doesn't just bring signs.
Yeah, you know, he knows how to talk, really. It's good. Yeah, we're going to try it a couple more. We're going to build up our guest host roster a little bit more over the next month or so. Plus, on that show, we got to pick out what we're going to be watching during the month of December, and there's always a lot of good December area stuff to choose from. And don't forget, you can visit me on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Jim Valley is at Jim Valley. Shane, you're not on Twitter, are you?
I'm not on Twitter. I've never been on Twitter. I don't even know how to be on Twitter. But
how about you tell people
how
they can
Facebook?
Yeah, how about you tell people how they can watch your show on YouTube?
Well, you can watch my show on YouTube under the banner of The Independent Rewind, and my show is Shane Shatters Presents Classic Indies, where I present 30-year-old independent wrestling matches from not only the Mid-Atlantic area, but in some cases all over the world. We got some stuff from some of the Saipan, Guam, Singapore tours of the early 1990s, and a lot of great stuff from this area here in West Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia. Was always a hotbed for pro wrestling and a lot of great turnout with a lot of great stars and future stars, guys at the Cactus Jack and Paul Orndorff and so many others of B. Brian Blair and Bam Bam Bigelow, and there's Cowboy Ron Bass,
King Kong Bundy.
King Kong Bundy. There's so many guys, and we try to mix the matches up every week. We don't want to try to put the focus just on one or two people. We like to try to mix it up. And this is 30-plus-year-old stuff that you don't know the finishes to. So if you like to watch the old type of stuff, TuneIn, Shane Shatters Presents Classic Indies. That's part of the Independent Rewind on YouTube channel, on YouTube.
Okay, and obviously, we're at facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast. We are at patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. And, of course, don't forget to leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever your pods come from. And if you'd like to know more, of course, about Vince McMahon, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, or Kamala, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, The Wrestling Observer, or check out your local library app, because they're all in books. Let's see. This is the part where Jim normally says something like, we'll be back next week, same way back time, same playback channel. Shane, do you have anything to add?
Well, I'd just like to say I've had a really great time. I hope I added some insight and some observations to it. It's been a lot of fun, as it always has been, and I'd love to come back sometime, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We'd love to have you back sometime, and we probably will. This show probably will. We're planning to keep doing the show for a while. Let's see. And don't forget, next week you can pick it up on Sunday, as you usually do, or you can open it on Thanksgiving Day. New episode waiting for you. The Thanksgiving tradition continues. You're on Way Back Playback. Until then, yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.